glimpses of truth ask for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program I explore the spiritual dimensions that seem to be unfolding in front of us. And tonight I have a very special guest who's doing an amazing thing. Her name is Grail Corsini, and she is founding the Goddess Temple of Ashland. Welcome, Grail.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much for your interest. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, this is the return of the goddess, isn't it?
It is.
Can you tell us who you are and how you got into the goddess, and how do we know the goddess is returning? Well, tell us your background.
Well, a little bit of my bio is that I'm an international workshop guide, a ceremonial dancer, priestess of the goddess, birth attendant. I teach a priestess school, and I take people on grail tours to Glastonbury, England, and Mount Shasta, California. Mm-hmm. And my awakening pretty much happened through the dream time. I honestly, wasn't raised in the goddess tradition, and many things happened in my life, including being a wild one in New York, as well as working in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles, and then even going on living on the road with the Grateful Dead. All part of my big university in Com University, learning all about what it is to be grateful. Grateful for the elements and grateful for what it is to trust. Completely what it is to open my heart and trust in the divine feminine to guide me. And with that, in that balance of coming into my fullness in my divine feminine, I was able to attract an amazing man in my life who's really, really in touch with his divine masculine and divine feminine as well. So us coming together really created a platform for us to start a goddess temple in Mount Shasta. And uh-huh. We did have a temple there for 6 years, and now we've come to Ashland, Oregon, and are really excited to share with this community and the world what we've learned through expanding our consciousness and in receiving and expressing the beauty of what it is to be in touch with the earth. This is a lot about just be like basic, like I walk the land, I breathe the air, I feel the sun, and I drink pure water, and I tap into my spirit. It's as simple as that.
But what was it that awakened you to the goddess particularly? Sounds like you had a pretty sort of normal, out there, kind of wild life. But how did you get in touch with that particular energy?
Well, specifically, I was looking through the Whole Life Times many years ago, and I saw an article about a Native American gathering out in Joshua Tree in California, and I cut that out, put it up on my wall, forgot about it. My grandmother passed, and she left me the exact amount of money that it cost to go on this gathering out in Joshua Tree, which was a very random number, like $240 or something. That's all she had to leave me. And I just thought the serendipity of it was just incredible, and I ended up going on this journey, and it was such an incredible opening to me to the earth. I was a full-on city girl, full-on. I was from New York. I went to college in Boston. I went to L.A. for my dance and acting career. And, I was a city girl. And there I was out in the middle of Joshua Tree on this camping trip with a Native American spiritual group in the 1980s. And I was sleeping outside. I was connecting with the fire. I was connecting with what it felt like to be out in the rain without an umbrella. Like silly things like this. But like at the same time, I realized I had grown up so disconnected to the earth and so disconnected to this feeling of, you know, what is so deeply provided to us on a constant level that is so ignored often. You know, where is the constant gratitude and constant awareness of the sacred elements? Mm. And that's when I was totally awakened at that point. And then it opened up an entire door of visioning for me. Dream times and daytime major visions. And the dream time was very different than a regular dream. You know, they were like full-on visions. And the same thing was happening to me during the daytime where, like, all of a sudden, flash, something would come through and it would be so powerful. I would go into automatic writing or, you know, go into, like, these beautiful songs would come out of my mouth. And just it was just when it first happened, it was for the entire month of October, every single day.
Wow, so you had an opening, like a sort of kundalini awakening in a way, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, I appreciate that terminology exactly. It was completely activating.
Now, did the goddess actually come to you? Because I've talked to many people where the Virgin Mary or Isis or Kali actually appears to people. Did something like that happen to you?
Yes, Alan. Actually, I really connect with the goddess Bridget. And through the similar experience of like when people see apparitions of Mary as a luminous light or other goddesses as a luminous feminine divine light, that's exactly what happened to me, where I was in the dream time and I was completely... Actually, before I got into the dream time, I was getting into bed very late at night. Everybody else was sleeping in my house, and I went to get in bed, and I felt this, like this hand come into the middle of my back and pull me up out of the bed and say, go outside and work with the moon. And I'm not Wiccan, and I have, you know, a intellectual understanding of drawing down the moon, but it was nothing that I really had practiced at that time. But it was such a deep experience that I had to do it. You know, and I just went outside, and I put my hands up, and I'm feeling the moon coming towards me and towards me and towards me, and then some really amazing supernatural things happened.
What was that? I want to hear what those are.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what happened?
Go as far as you want in this program. We allow everything.
Okay.
Don't.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. So as the moon's coming towards me and doubling and doubling and doubling coming towards me, I hear something like shuffle, like something like it was. It was, you know, the fall, so the leaves were crunchy, and I stopped. I turned and I looked, and I saw a very large black wolf. And this black wolf, like, what could this be? You know, I know it's not a dog. I've been raised with dogs, and I know it's not a dog. And we don't have black wolves in Northern California. I was in Mount Shasta. We don't have black wolves there. But I just knew that, oh, my gosh, this is something so magical. And I realized I started talking to this wolf with an old English accent. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Because I like stepped out of my body into my audio, like, what is going on? And I honestly got a little frightened and I ran up onto my stairs. And then the wolf glided across our yard and out towards the meadow without making a sound. And I was, what on earth? You know, and I went into the house, and then I did finally go to sleep. And that night, in the dream time, I was in Greece with my daughter, and we were going in and out of stores looking for the goddess. Is the goddess here? No. Is the goddess here opening and closing doors? And then I finally opened up another door. Is the goddess here? And she was at the top of these stairs as this gorgeous, luminous, feminine, divine light. And she said, I've been waiting so long for you. I've been waiting. And bam, I was like, what? I woke up, completely overwhelmed. And then soon after that, I had another dream, and she came in the same way, and she said, you must start an Avalon priestess school in Mount Shasta. I'm going, what is an Avalon priestess school? You know, years ago I read The Mists of Avalon, but, you know, that's all I didn't really know. And I suggested, what about this person? What about that person? What about this person? She said, no, it must be you. You must start this Avalon priestess school. And then a couple days later, my friend called me and said, hey, I met this woman on the internet. She wants to come over, and it would be great if your husband and you could come and have dinner with us. I go. This woman's name is Samantha Wolf, and she is a priestess of Avalon, and she has attended the Avalon Priestess School of Glastonbury, England. And I never even heard of this stuff before. I was like, you are kidding me. And I told her about the wolf, and she said, this is one of the goddess Bridget's familiars. This is Bridget speaking to you. This is Bridget. You must understand, you must go to Avalon in Glastonbury, England, and you must visit Ireland. And
Ireland's the British goddess. I mean, Bridget's an Irish goddess, right?
Yes, but, you know, Bridget, the British Isles are Bridie's Isles. Bridie is another way of saying Bridget, Bridie. It just is transformed into British.
So Bridget is goddess of British Isles.
Yes, she's an all-encompassing goddess.
Oh, is that why they call it Britain? Because of Bridget?
Yes. And Britannia is actually Bridget and Anna. Anna is the more ancient all-encompassing goddess. And then Bridget, you know, in the times, the names changed with the, you know, with what was happening honor and worship. And Bridget, you know, she's the bridger. She is the bridger of all. That's our word bridge comes from Bridget. Our word bride, when we get married at the altar with bride and groom. Do you know why we call it the bride and groom?
Well, you just said something to do with Bridget. No, tell me why.
Right. You know, most people have no idea. Well, this is in connection to the ancient mythology of that the bride, Bridget, she rides into the underworld on her horse, the Epona. And a horse, what does a horse need to be taken care of? A horse groom, right? So this horse is like her psychopomp that takes her into the underworld, the other world, the inner world. So when we stand in total commitment to our partners at the altar, in an altered state of consciousness, we stand there as the bride embodying the goddess and making a commitment to each other that I, as the bride, will be able to go into the underworld, the inner world, the other world, and you, as my groom, will caretake my vehicle when I go to those places, and I can trust that you will help and be there and present to help bring me back or be there when I come back.
Beautiful. That is great. I am going to tell that to my potential wife, whoever she may be, but I won't tell that to her.
Excellent.
Good. I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that. That's really interesting. So it's the woman that journeys into the underworld to bring back the secret knowledge to the light, to the consciousness, the male consciousness of the left brain, ego mind, shall we say.
You are absolutely correct. Yes.
Right. And so that's why you need a partnership, because one person has to stay in the light while the other journeys into the dark along on the nightmare, right? The horse that runs through the night.
Yes, well said. Well done. Yes.
But in order to not turn into a runaway wild nightmare, you need to be anchored in the light with the groom. I think that's what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely. Right. Yes. Thank you, Alan.
So this goddess appeared to you, and that's great, because I want to videotape you. I really want to sort of document these goddess appearances, like, all over the planet, you know, lots of Mary stuff, lots of Isis, and met people who had Durga experiences, and Lakshmi, and Kali. There's so much, but Bridget talked to you and sort of commanded you to start this temple. And so you met this woman who was part of the Avalon Mystery Schools. And then how did she train you? What was your apprenticeship?
She shared with me, you know, that you know, I could go to this school in Glastonbury. And so I had another dream where John Lennon came to me in the dream time and said, you must circle dance on Lunar Lammas in Glastonbury. And I said, all right. And when when I researched the Avalon Priestess School in Glastonbury, I found that they do a goddess conference every year. And the goddess conference always falls over Lammas time, over Lunasa.
What is
in
that?
August. It's always the last week of July that the goddess conference happens. And that's the only time that the school is really open to the public to come. Because I found out with the school, you have to be there, either live in Glastonbury for 2 years, or do this whole, a program online that they have now, but they didn't then. And so I was really, really excited that I could go and circle dance at Lunar Lammas, like John requested of me, and I could take part in the priestess school through experiencing their goddess conference. And that was 6 years ago. And since then, I have become an instructor at that goddess conference and performer.
Right. And now, what was that holiday that you, Lunas, Lannis, you said, means what?
Lammas or Lunasa. And it's a harvest festival on August 1st on the Celtic seasonal wheel. It's also crop circle season.
I know. I was there last summer in the crop circles. I've done lots of programs on crop circles. So,
and I was fabulous.
And I was in Glastonbury and climbed the tour, which is really feels ancient when you're going through those fields there, climbing to the top of that hill. It's like you could be 3,000 years ago. And I do think those are the mountaintops of Atlantis. I do think that part of England, and I think that's one of the reasons the crop circles do show up there, is because the land is so ancient.
Right.
So, but anyway, no, right. Getting back to the goddess, so then you studied there, and then you went to Mount Shasta and started a temple of the goddess, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean, a temple of the goddess? Yes.
Well, what happens there?
Yeah, and what does it mean to have a temple of the goddess? I mean, what goes on there? Yeah.
Okay. Well, our temple of the goddess is about being a healing sanctuary for the nurturance of the divine feminine in all people. So we had ceremonies, rite of passage rituals, performances, community ritual theater, incredible art exhibits for self-expression, a lot of beautiful workshops on creative empowerment, all about, you know, this I learned that my purpose is about inspiration and empowerment. And through introducing people to the connection to the elements and finding their voice, it's part of this whole spiritual awakening for humanity. You know, this whole invoking of the reactivation of the balance of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. It's so time for this, and it's all creates this spiritual transformation that when at the temple, when we're tuning into water, you know, we're either working in the water or we're priestessing at the sacred springs, or and when we're connecting with air, we're singing songs, or we're doing, you know, we're working with smudging and conscious communication. When we're working with fire, we're working with sacred dance and our creativity. When we're working with spirit, we're working with prayer. When we're working with earth, we're gardening, or we're going on field trips together. It's all about community activation.
Was this an ongoing thing? Was this like an open 24 hours a day, or how did that work?
Pretty much, I actually had Tuesday evenings off for 6 years. Like, that's about it. It's the only time I had off. It was quite often that I slept there because we also did Kundalini Yoga Sadhana in the morning a lot, which we started very early in the morning, sometimes at 3 in the morning, sometimes at 4 in the morning. So I think, for instance, the night before, I was holding a static dance class. You know,
wow.
I had to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning for Kundalini, you know, Sadhana. I would just end up, you know, pulling out my pot and sleeping there. You know,
wow.
I wasn't the only one. There were many times, you know, we showed spiritual cinema movies. We had incredible folk dancing. I teach Breton folk dancing from Northwest France. And it's really fun. We call it like trance folk dancing, where when I first learned it, all I could imagine was doing these dances out in the crops and off of sea as pagans, you know, creating the first crop circles, you know, through these patterns of these dances. You know, so it was just wide open for expression, creative expression. And that's where we get back to the divine feminine as well, you know, this creative aspect.
Right. So what? So you did that for 6 years in Mount Shasta, like ongoing, so people could just show up there and participate in the goddess rituals.
Absolutely.
And
then,
so
yeah. we chose to move. We chose to move primarily because we have a really incredible, highly independent 15-year-old daughter who was very, very clear about her direction. And
yes.
She came up to me one day this past June and said, "I am complete. I am complete with Mount Shasta, and I am moving to Oregon for France." And we thought, okay, well, no. Ashley Bergen's only an hour and a half away from Shasta. She's very independent, very mature. We could find a family for her to live with in Ashland. And we can still continue running the temple here in Mount Shasta and we thought about our lives. Goddess had a different idea for us. Huge winds of change came and we started looking at what would be the possibility, what would happen if we did close the temple and move to Ashland, Oregon. And have a rest for a while and explore something different. So I'm also a birth attendant, and I've really wanted to get more serious into delivery. Like, you know, of course, I assist midwives, but I'd like to eventually be a full-fledged midwife myself. And I heard about the Jackson Wellsprings here, their long-term vision being a birth center. I was very excited about that because I have a really beautiful vision of a birth camp where people would come and they're last trimester, you know, their last month, with their last month of pregnancy, the mama and the papa come and come for art therapy and dance therapy and conscious communication workshops and all these wonderful things to work out before the baby's born. And then they have a chance, women, to birth in areas of the sacred elements, that there would be an earth temple, an air temple, a fire temple, a water temple, a spirit temple for the women to birth in. And so in this interim, and I do my morning practice every day and commune with the goddess Bridget, I was visited again, and very clearly, you need to start a temple here now. And she said, gather 19 practicing priestesses, build the first altar in my name, and the rest will organically unfold. And so, you know, so I live in a very magical world, and it's quite often that I travel between the veils, and it is, you know, when I'm on the other side, when I receive these visions, and this was one of them, so I don't believe in procrastination. I was born and raised in New York. I go for it. I don't even think twice. And right. I take my visions very seriously. I move full speed ahead, and I put a call out. I get out of my, you know, my temple list. On Facebook, out to the universe, and within 2 weeks, 19 practicing priestesses came forward. And 19, you know, is the traditional number of the priestesses that held the sacred flame of the goddess Bridget.
Oh, and, is that why you're doing it on March? So on March 19th, you are dedicating the new Temple of the Goddess in Ashland with these 19 priestesses. Is that it?
Yeah. So I basically, when I also then I had another dream that Ganesha, the new god Ganesh, came to me, the elephant god, and was just dancing all around me in this dream. And when I woke up in the morning, I realized, whoa, the Jackson Wellsprings has a beautiful Ganesh statue at the head of their cold plunge pool. I'm getting a call, and deep appreciation is given to the owner, Jerry Lerberger, and his brother and manager, Carl Lerberger, for their willingness, dedication, and courage to support the birth of this temple. They were so open and excited. Jerry even said, we have been praying for the goddess to come, and you have come. It's the women that will heal this planet.
You're building the goddess temple at the Jackson Wellspring. That's what's happening.
Yes, it's a 30-acre spa camping, and it has mineral hot springs. It has a large organic tree of life, vegetable and herb garden. It has a community room that has dance and yoga classes and concerts. It has an outdoor Kasbah area for outdoor concerts. It has a festival area. All of these areas will be periodically utilized by the priestesses of Goddess Temple throughout the year. But our temple specifically is a large geodesic dome generously gifted to us by Asha Deliverance of Ashland specific domes. And that's the space that's in the back meadow right on the creek in a really beautiful, beautiful natural area. And it shall provide a safe space for locals and visitors to commune with inner peace, sacred waters, the therapeutic dance, healing, balance, celebration. We have many, many things happening. We're going to have regular events that are hosted by the Goddess Temple that include open dance nights, healing sessions, and presentations. Mm. We have men and women, temple melissas, whom are volunteer helpers and will hold space at the dome every day, noon to 7 p.m. Mm. We are planning on...
I was just curious what word Melissa means. Where's that come from?
Melissa in Greek means honeybee, and we are there to serve the queen bee, the goddess. It was inspired by the goddess temple of Glastonbury, England. The women who put on the goddess conference, all their volunteer helpers are called Melissas, and we really love that because we also at the Jackson Wellsprings, along with all the other things I already said, priestesses will be available for classes and workshops and ceremonies and performances, as well as my husband, Tony, he will be doing workshops in rural crafting, which includes like hot oven building, brewing, bread making, beekeeping. So the people will have honey from the bees from the land.
Beautiful. So actually, I just met a bunch of beautiful goddess women called the Daughters of Gaia Ma. Have you heard of them?
No, fabulous. Yeah, there's really an incredible amount popping up all over.
Well, I got to connect these people to you. I'm going to connect them to you, and maybe we'll all go out there for a visit to the goddess temple, you know?
That would be great. That would be so wonderful.
But tell me who's showing up, like which teachers are showing up on March 19th. And I guess everybody's invited if they can get to Ashland, Oregon, right?
Oh, of course, of course. Well, actually, our grand opening is not going to be a workshop setting. It will be more a ceremonial setting.
Oh.
And ritual performance. So, it will not be a workshop setting.
Who's going to be there? Like, which of the 19 priestesses are going to be there? What do they represent?
Well, I could speak their names if you'd like, and some of the things that they do, because each one has like an entire paragraph of what they do.
Well, name some of the people. Yeah.
Okay, I have an incredible co-director named Jumana King Harris, and she is a water priestess. She connects with the goddess and brings forth healing through the practice of Watsu.
Oh, I know Watsu. I interviewed Harold Dahl. He's an amazing person. Yes, that's a great practice. Yes.
Yes, good. And that's really important on this incredible sacred land. Because this land also, where the Jackson Wellsprings is very sacred land to the local Native Americans of this area, because it was a place that was used where natives would come, drop their weapons, and come to the sacred waters for healing. It was a place where the native women would come and birth because it was a safe space. So, you know, these waters there have been used for centuries for healing grace.
Healing and transformation.
Yeah, we also have Amber St. Germain, who's tantric belly dancer. We have Addie, who's an incredible, gorgeous goddess musician. We have Prema Gaya, who does incredible and compassionate communication and self-responsible communication. We have Ruth Rhiannon, who is a gorgeous temple dancer. And we have Eden Luz, who is also an incredible dancing freedom facilitator and gardener and builder. We have Elena Minari, who is a shamanic trance dancer specializing in Odissi and quantum healing and ritual theater. We have Denicia Lafay, who is her and her partner Noam Zimmern are international workshop guides who lead workshops on the balance of the divine masculine and divine feminine. We have Monique Manning, who is an incredible yoga and belly dance instructor. We have Teja Sweeney, who is a kirtan gorgeous singer, and she also is a writer of a fabulous book. And
so what's going to happen? What's going to happen with all these women there on the 19th? What will you do to open the temple?
Well, right now we are in, we're working with the lineup. We have some very specifics and then some other things are kind of in. We for sure have People Thunder coming in the nominee of Sweet Music. And we also have some very talented local dancers doing performance art piece. Also have the priestesses will be doing a session to the temple and doing an anointing with sacred waters from all over the world and anointing of all the elements as well. There'll be a couple dance that we do in honor of the balance of divine masculine and divine feminine. These will also, let's see what else. We're also very schooled in spontaneous creativity, and so it's very important that we don't get like boxed in, you know?
Right.
And,
this will then be an ongoing temple that people can come, like you had in Mount Shasta, where people then can go and create rituals, be a part of rituals, and have different leaders, workshop leaders coming and talking about different divine feminine practices, right?
Yes, definitely. And
right.
The Jackson Wellsprings provides such an excellent space for no matter what size. We could have very intimate events, and we could have very, very large events.
Well, I want to help create something out there with some of these divine feminine leaders that I've hooked up with, and I'll be in touch with you about that for sure, because
fantastic.
There's some amazing women I've met recently, but how would you suggest people, men and women, start to get in touch with the divine feminine aspects in them and around them?
Well, my greatest suggestion is what I shared earlier around connecting with the elements, because without the elements, we are nothing. And just a simple, just every day, a morning practice of stepping outside and touching the land, consciously taking a breath of fresh air, consciously feeling the sun, whether it's behind the clouds or not, tuning in with the rays of the sun, and consciously drinking pure water, consciously tapping into the spirit within, and how can I serve today? What can I do to serve today? What is it to connect and serve? What is it to connect and trust and serve? What is it to connect and trust and journey and thrive? What is it to completely, when we as women, when we grow a human inside of our body, we're growing this human. Like creativity is completely activated. So what can we do? Where can we activate our creativity every day? And I really feel that it starts first with just a simple practice of acknowledging and appreciating the elements.
Because the elements are the divine feminine. The elements are the earth, the mother is what the elements are, right?
You got it.
So we have to honor the elements that make up our bodies and that have created us, because that's the divine feminine herself, is what we're on.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what's your vision then? What's your big picture of what you're doing and big picture for the feminine on the planet? What do you see coming?
Well, what I see coming is a great blossoming of acceptance, of nurturance and connection with each other's hearts. Mm. We are coming from heart space, bridging. I like to imagine this bridge from our mind to our heart to our sex. Okay, so when both places are bridged, we're able to walk in truth.
Mm. Between all three centers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that grounds us to the animal, to the human, and to the divine. All those levels.
Yes.
To the earth. Yes, I get that. I like that. So how would you define the divine masculine? What does that mean for us to understand?
I should have my husband on now.
Oh, just tell me
I define him as the divine masculine.
What is it about him?
Well, what it is about him for me is that he completely comes from a place of support, in supporting me in total freedom. He, in his trust that in my work, he grants me total freedom. And in him granting me total freedom, that is a reflection of his own inner security. And in his own inner security, he's able to be a provider. And that providing comes many, many forms, many levels. But for me, it's like he's this foundation that can hold me like my name is Braille. Look at the chalice. Like, the cup is feminine. The stem is masculine. The base of that chalice, when masculine and feminine are held, look what's holding the cup. The masculine's holding the cup. When the divine feminine is held by the divine masculine, that foundation, that circle below, is the healthy community, is the healthy family, is the healthy relationship. Mm. And when that divine masculine is to hold strongly without wobbling, everything else is able to flourish as well. You know, the cup is able to be filled, it's able to be emptied and put back on its foundation.
I see. And that's the divine couple creating abundance in the world, isn't it?
Yes. So we
like that. So this is the new consciousness we're moving into. This is the new way, kind of almost like a new religion, but it's not about religion. It's about going beyond religion to something.
It's living the past.
Yeah, living.
It's not logic beyond religion.
Yeah. It's beyond Wicker, too, and beyond those, I think, old paradigms. It seems like something new can start to happen here.
Right. Very standard, non-dogmatic, a lot of flexibility and fusion.
Wait, I missed that last part. Lots of abilities and what?
Flexibility and fusion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your sound is breaking up a little bit. But I see. So, okay, so March 19th, people can go to the Jackson Well Hot Springs outside of Ashland and participate in this great event?
Yes, they can. And we have a Facebook page that is the Goddess Temple of Ashland that will keep everybody updated. Our beautiful website is still under a little bit of construction. So that when it's ready to be viewed by the main public, it will be announced on the Facebook page, the Goddess Temple of Ashland.
The website number, what the website name will be?
GoddessTempleOfAshland.org.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. And for confirmation, like I said, that'll be on the Facebook page.
Great. And you're going to hold like sort of gatherings throughout the year around the goddess?
Definitely. We love to follow the Celtic wheel. So, you know, every solstice and equinox and then all the cross-quarter holy days, there will be somebody from the temple holding a community ritual theater event.
Oh, maybe I'll come out there for the solstice. I'd love to visit.
Sure, that would be great. Yes, and on our website, we'll have a calendar that lists everything.
Okay. I'm going to connect you with some great goddess beings to do stuff out there and be a part of this.
Alan?
Yes. Hello. Do you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. No, I was saying I'm going to connect. Yeah, it's been going in and out a little bit, the sound. But I was going to say, I'm very excited about what you're doing. And I'll connect you with some great people that do some great rituals that I feel really benefited from that connect us to the elements. I mean, really, because I think we're in an evolutionary phase where, you know, our consciousness is expanding. So we have to include a bigger space, a bigger world, a more unified world that we're moving into. This is where we have to evolve to, and what you're doing seems very much a part of that. So
yes, thank you.
So are you connected with Bridget every day, the goddess Bridget? Is she always communing with you?
Yes, I definitely feel her every day. I don't have the visions like I described to you earlier every day, but I definitely feel her through me all the time. And I just got back from Ireland. I visited Ireland to celebrate Bridget's Day in bulk, which was February 1st.
Is it more powerful, the Bridget energy in Ireland, or is it the same wherever you go?
It's the same wherever I go.
I see. So she's where you are, huh, in a way.
Yeah.
I would say,
if I'm going to say anywhere that it's amplified, I would say it's amplified in Glastonbury for me.
Oh, I see. Huh. What about Mount Shasta? Did you feel that was a powerful, the mountain itself?
Definitely. It was Mount Shasta is an incredible college for awakening. Some people graduate, some people stay in it their whole lives, and some people get kicked out immediately. You know, it's a classic vortex place.
I know. It's like Sedona. It's like New York City. I'm in New York City, you know?
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. But, you know, I used to say that, too. Like, they say if you can, you know, survive New York, you could survive anywhere. I say the same thing about Mount Shasta.
Well, I slept on Mount Shasta. It was very electric. It was very chaotic, although I love Panther Meadows and the cold plunge out there in Panther Meadows. Did you ever do that?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
That was so healing, very healing energy. Mm-hmm. All those mountains in the Cascades. Mount Rainier is a really powerful, beautiful mountain, too. So
yes, I have not been there.
Oh, you should go.
You know what's really special too about Mount Shasta is the deep connection to Lemuria.
Right. You know, and UFOs seen over that mountain all the time, you know.
Definitely. I had my share of connections with that as well. And, you know, even with Lemuria, I had deep in the dream time, Princess Yaishima of Lemuria came to me and showed me where things should be in our goddess temple. First, she filled the whole place with liquid plasma light. And then she showed me, okay, this chair should be here, this picture should be there, da-da-da-da-da. And then she told me that the children of Telos, the city of the Lemurians inside the mountain, often, right, you know, like, often come to our temple to experience what we're doing. You know, so that you know, put a whole other perspective on what we were doing, that we were like, we would kind of make jokes saying that we were on Telos TV.
Right. I met a Telosian. I met someone from Telos once, or so she said she was from Telos. But
Was that Sharula Dux?
Yes, Sharula. I went to Egypt with Sharula.
Yeah, I know her from many years ago as well.
I documented our whole trip up the Nile with about 60 people. It was
fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was 1991. We opened the 888 Stargate there.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Yeah, it was really fun. What happened? How is Sharula? Have you been in touch with her?
No, I haven't been in touch with her at all. And the last I heard, she was living in Sedona.
Well, I heard she was still in Santa Fe, but maybe she did go to Sedona. She got married. Anyway, getting back to the goddess. And because, you know, they were good friends for a while. But no, we're almost out of time here. But if people want to have like these like deeper connections with the goddess and have their own vision, you say just connect with the elements and you think something will come. I mean, there's a certain, I mean, it just happened to you. You weren't even asking for it, were you?
No, I was not. And this is a common theme in my life, though. You know, like the first time I was visited by extraterrestrials, I didn't ask for it at all. And it just is something that happened and I was blown away. You know,
Can you tell me about, because I do a lot of shows on extraterrestrials. I know it's a slightly different topic, but can you give me just a quick like thing about what happened to you?
Well, actually, it was when I shared at the beginning of your show tonight of me going to that Native American gathering in Joshua Tree. On the way home from that gathering was my first visitation with a mothership while I was driving home.
What happened?
And, well, it just appeared in the middle of the freeway, and I was driving in the middle of the night, very late, like maybe 3 o'clock in the morning or something, you know, at a time where there was nobody else on the road. And this huge mothership appeared, and it was so major in my face. You know, I like slammed on my brakes because I thought I was going to hit it. and I actually went through it.
You went through the ship.
Yeah, and then it wasn't too long after that, various things happened, and just to kind of fast forward the story, wasn't too long after that that I was visited in the middle of the night. The ceiling opened, and these very friendly, lovely, blue, long beings put in my forehead the same shape of what it looked just like the mothership that I saw, and they put that in my third eye.
Huh.
And it was a very positive experience.
Then what happened?
Yeah, and then, you know, that's when every single day of the month of October they visited me.
What do the ETs, and I'm interested, have to do with the divine feminine? That's the part that other people are trying to...
It was part of my awakening, just my general spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
The divine feminine aspect for me was my total connection with the earth at that gathering. That I was so removed before from even considering, like, thinking about taking a conscious breath or consciously, like, giving thanks for the sun and giving thanks for the earth and giving thanks for the water that I was drinking. Or I had no connection, and that gathering really activated it in me. And then in that total earth activation, I realized that it bridged me to my star family. Because these beings who reconnected with me are my original starseed family. So with that, it just goes back. It's full circle, you know, with creatrix and with the whole, my whole expanded consciousness just blasting wide open.
Let's do a gathering that combines the goddess with the star families, kind of integrating the two, the heavens and the earth.
I lost you again.
I'm just saying, let's do a gathering that could combine the star family with the divine feminine, the heavens and the earth together, to make a bridge.
I love it.
Yeah. No, let's do that. That would be exciting. I'll be in touch with you about all that. Thanks for sharing. Maybe I'll call you after the show, but thanks for sharing. We're just about out of time. And what would you like to leave people with? What kind of ideas or thoughts or invitations would you like to?
I would just like to say for everyone to please take a nice deep breath and realize that through us walking the land, breathing the air, feeling the sun, drinking pure water, connecting with spirit is an invocation to the reactivation of the balance of divine feminine and divine masculine.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I was talking to Grail Cassini of the Goddess Temple of Ashland. So we'll be in touch, okay?
Grail? Yes, connect me through my website, grailtours.webs.com. It's GRALLTOURS. webs.com.
Thank you. I'm going to end with this goddess song, The Song of the Soul, with Chris Williamson. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening.